This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today on the Community Matters program is Trista Wilcox from the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association. Now, Trista, we are very glad to be able to be joined by you today because I'm really excited to talk about some of the different programs that the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association has for people in these communities. I understand there is a large variety of different things that you do and offer to people here in the community, and I'm excited to learn about it. So thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Would you mind going through some of the different programs that the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association has for people in both counties?
Sure. Thank you again for having me. So the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association's mission statement is that we are dedicated to providing support for people in recovery from serious mental illness, reducing stigma that is commonly attached to mental illness, and being a leader for community integration and education on mental illness.
Would you mind going through and just telling us a little bit about what the Fairweather Lodge is and then going into some of the recovery assistance programs available?
Sure, I'd love to. So the Fairweather Lodge, we have a men's and a women's in town, and what we do is we offer a structured, safe environment for them to come out of the state hospitals or incarceration, things like that. We go through a application process, and we partner with EOC a lot of times and the county. The program actually is worked to have a hierarchy that people coming in will come in at like a level one, and by the time they're ready to leave, they will be like at four or five. So they help each other. It's about building natural supports. This is what I tell my staff almost daily. We are here to work ourselves out of a job. So when we can help support people to be more independent in their budgeting, their cooking, their taking care of themselves, and also vocations like education and finding jobs, resume writing, things like that. We assist them with all of that, help link them with the appropriate services in our community, and then hopefully they can not need us anymore.
Wow, that is really, really amazing. And so those are things that are just offered from the Fairweather Lodge there, and that's just a really great opportunity for people that need the help to be able to get it. And I understand you also have those recovery assistance programs. Is that something that would be in the same kind of vein, or is that something completely different as well?
Well, we actually have some Fairweather Lodge participants that use our recovery assistance program. Recovery assistance is right now built of two categories. One is transportation and family, we call it, and the other is house support. Transportation is if someone maybe needs to get to a physical or a mental health appointment, they call us and we ask that they give us a week or two in advance so we can get them scheduled in. We go pick them up. They are responsible for getting into the ride and making sure that they have either a ride home or have scheduled with us for a ride home. The house assistance or housing support is really working with people in the community who do not live in the lodges, who need help with budgeting, need help with cooking, cleaning, organizing is a big one. It's not case management or peer support or anything like that. Those are all wonderful programs, but that's not who we are. So I train my staff, when you're doing housing assistance with someone, they need to be up and, like, say they're helping with dishes. I would like the person to be doing the dishes with them because, again, we want to work ourselves out of a job.
Wow, that is really interesting. Now, you know, you bring up some really great points there of things that you do to kind of help people that are part of these programs. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about is that I understand you offer some other services that are available to both consumers and people in the Warren State Hospital and both to the entire community. And one of those things that I wanted to talk about would be the drop-in center. So would you mind telling us a little bit about what the drop-in center is?
The drop-in center is just that. You drop in. So Suzanne, who works there, does a really great job at organizing activities. Some days they do cooking. Some days they do arts and crafts. Some days they have movie day or night. It's a great place to go and socialize and learn some socialization skills or enhance them. Anyone in the community is welcome. We do have a couple different, I'll say, shifts from the state hospital that come over, and they get a little time out of there, which I think is very good for them. And I know that we have had people who have come from the state hospital to us and made friends there, that when they get out, they then have those natural supports, which is so important. And so we welcome anyone to come in, just stop and see what it's about. Suzanne usually puts out monthly schedules of the activities that she has. She also does like bingo with groups. We have a group from BEI that comes and does bingo. We offer some, you know, small prizes, things like that. But yeah, it's a great program.
So, you know, with that being said, where is this drop-in center located at?
We are on the state hospital grounds, right next to, I'll say, the old, because I'm not sure, the old forensic building.
One of the other things that I wanted to talk about is another program that you have available for people that find it fascinating just to understand the way it works, and I'm hoping you could probably explain it to everybody else, the representative payee program. So would you mind going through that and how that works?
Sure. The rep payee is what we shorten it a little bit. So I have a great gal who actually is working remotely, but she answers the phones and also helps out with some scheduling for recovery assistance. So if you are on Social Security and you are deemed unable to manage your own funds, we get their Social Security checks. They come in, we budget, we go through a budget plan with them, coordinating with them and their other services, and we pay their bills. So that's one less thing to really worry about. They do, a lot of them mail things to us, but a lot of them in town drop things off to us, and they're really good about, if they ask for additional funds, they put in a check request, and we, you know, it's their money. Yeah. So they spend it how they wish, and they do bring us receipts because Social Security audits, and they want to know where it's all going.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a really good point that you bring up there. And I think that it's a really amazing program that you have available there. So people that are just joining in, thank you for taking the time to join us. This is the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. I'm being joined by Trista Wilcox from the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association. And we're talking about all the different things that the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association has available as far as programs go for Warren County. Now, as we've gone through and been able to highlight some of these different programs that are available here in Warren County, I can't help but wonder, there's got to be some way that come together to support all this, because this is a lot of work, it's a lot of things going on in the community, and a lot of support programs, and I'm wondering, is there a store or just a place that people can go to help support you guys and what your mission is?
Yes, absolutely. Right now, we also have the Wellspring Home and Garden. We have moved from the old Eke building on St. Clair up to 1885 Market Street Extension, right beside Beacon Light. We will be open possibly through, but at least until December 1st. We have sent out letters to our vendors. So I guess I'll say first, the Wellspring Home and Garden Store really pairs with the Fairweather Lodge. So we have a snow removal and a lawn and landscaping business along with the store. It has some really unique gifts, and most of which are crafted in our home community. We have things like Puro Soap, Basari, which is, I think, Jamestown, and a lot of people here in town either showcase their artwork there or they sell it on consignment with us. And so it's a really cool place to get a very unique, one-of-a-kind gift. We are going to be having a pre-Black Friday sale. And everything that is owned by Wellspring Home and Garden will be 50% off. Like, it's like liquidating. We are showcasing Thomas Zadarko art. We're having a show through Halloween, and we'll be having a costume party on the last day. There's a drawing, so anytime you stop in, does not require a purchase. Anytime that you stop into the store, you fill out a red ticket with your name and phone number, and Thomas has agreed to create a portrait of your choice, because there's some really fantastic things that he's doing.
Wow.
So if you give him a photograph, he will draw something on, I think it's a 11 by 14. That's the size, yes.
Wow, that is so cool. That would be an amazing photograph for someone to bring home and have for them, you know, to have a customized piece of art made off of whatever they would want to have a picture of. That would be just so cool. You're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. Today on the Community Matters program, we're talking with Trista Wilcox from the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association, and we're talking with Thomas Zadarko, a local artist who's going to be doing work that is actually being exhibited at the Wellspring Home and Garden Store now through Halloween, and you'll have a chance at winning an art exhibit piece done by him if you go to the Wellspring before Halloween is up. Thomas, thank you for taking the time to join us today. I'm really glad that we could be able to highlight some of the different things that you're doing here in the community, because you are a graphic artist, and I understand that you have been doing a variety of different things here in the community, from art to writing to, you know, just anything in between. You have done some really amazing things, and what I wanted to kind of talk about is how your artwork right now is being shown off and exhibited at Wellspring, and I wanted to talk about a contest that's available right now that people are able to enter that would have you making a piece for them, I understand. So that seems like that's going to be really an interesting topic to discuss there. But, you know, what I wanted to start the conversation with is yourself and learning a little bit more about you and, you know, kind of going through how you got into art, and then talking about how some of the programs here at Wellspring, you know, in Warren and through the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association have been helpful, because I understand that there's a lot of other people in the community that would like to learn about some of these resources and understand the benefits of some of the great things that are happening here.
Sure. I'm a self-taught artist who has no formal training at all. And I've recently overcome a lifelong battle of depression and suicidal issues. Now I love life and can't wait for my next adventure. I credit my wellness to DBT, which is Dialectical Behavioral Therapy by Marcia M. Linehan. I believe everyone out there, no matter who you are or what your situation, can benefit from her teachings. In my first month in DBT group, I felt like it was a waste of time and it didn't work until I started seeing positive changes in other people. So I decided to give it a shot and started practicing the techniques. And then when the time came that I needed it, it was there for me. I thought, this stuff really works, which created a hunger in me to learn even more. For me, it put me in touch with my emotions, which actually gave me the control over my emotions. I'm not over-emotional anymore. I don't, you know, blow up at people or, you know, have bouts of crying or anything. And for those of you out there who are struggling with depression and suicidal issues, there is help. Don't stop reaching out and don't stop looking. Life is amazing and there's nothing like it. I don't struggle with not wanting to get out of bed and dreading the day ahead of me anymore. Every day for me is a blessing. No matter if it's good or bad, I'm still here and I'm very thankful.
You have had an opportunity here to show me some of this artwork that you've been doing and that is, you know, on display, and it is just absolutely amazing. You mentioned at the beginning of this that you are a self-taught artist. You have such a natural talent for doing these things. It just fascinates me because I see some of these things that you've drawn, and the drawings that you have made here that you've just shown me, just a little bit of your exhibit and what people can see down at Wellspring, and people, I understand, can actually purchase some of these pieces as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing with these is they're all such a really cool variety, and they all exemplify some really unique things that you've done a really great job of making here, like that are just all different from what people normally see, if that makes sense. Like, some of these drawings that you have, one that I'm going to mention that we've talked a little bit about before is Lucy. The drawing of Lucy is just so amazing to see because it's something where it feels like you've seen it before, but you know you haven't. And when you look at it, it's just amazing. And when you see the rest of the pieces, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because he has drawings of people that are really great up close portraits, to, you know, drawings of items and things that are just absolutely so great that you would think it's a real photograph. And when you see this work, it's just so fascinating to try and learn that, like, you're self-taught, you know, when you go through this, it's incredible to try to understand how someone can learn to do this, like, on their own without, you know, a formal, like, you know what I mean, like a name brand education for something like this. Like, mm-hmm. You have an incredible talent. So would you mind going through some of your process with this for us?
Inspiration can come from anywhere. It can, you know, At any time of the day, I could be inspired to do something or have an idea, or maybe somebody could run something across me. Hey, what about drawing this? Or toss that around and maybe sketch something out if I'm going to do it. Like I have a Jimi Hendrix painting that I want to do. And I started it I started doing the tie-dye background. And it isn't completed yet. I'll sketch it out on paper or I'll do a computer rendering and I'll get the idea of what I want to do. And I work from photographs, so.
I do digital artwork too. I can do photo restoration.
That's something that I was curious to ask you about. You know, I'm amazed by some of the different things that you do, because while you have shown me some of these fantastic pictures here, I understand, you know, you're a graphic artist as well. So you do online renderings, you do online drawings like we were just talking about, and you really have a ton of different talents and abilities that are really just fantastic. So my question is, if people wanted to see some of this work like we've been talking about, it's available down at the Wellspring store right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, it's not the whole collection that's available down there, right? It's just a few select pieces that people can look for?
Or? Right.
Okay.
Right. There's about 50 pieces on display, plus there's a couple of portfolios that I have up there as well. Every day that you come in, you are eligible to enter your name and phone number to win a free 11x14 portrait on Bristol board, drawn by me. The runner-up will win a cobblestone art high-quality print of Lucy Castle. Now, there's only 10 of those in existence, and they're uncut and unframed, and people will really like that that piece. That won a People's Choice Award.
Well, that picture was from a Glamour magazine. It was a woman sharing a piece of spaghetti with a guy, and I figured, well, I'm going to pull him in and make him closer because they're pretty far apart. I want to fit on the paper. And I wanted him to be a zombie, so I drew a skull over his face to have like the flesh peeling off. So when I drew the skull, I thought, boy, that's really impressive. I really like that. I'm just gonna do the skull. So that's what I ended up doing, and I wanted an arm in there, so I looked through medical books references, and I managed to get the right position and for the hand to come up, and then the rib cage was the last thing that I did. I like to try to throw things in a picture that doesn't quite match. I wanted to do something harmless but dangerous in the same picture. Harmless. Or, you know, I thought, well, okay, dangerous, guns are dangerous, and what's harmless? What could be harmless? Ballerina.
Wow.
And if somebody...
Like one of my faves.
I was thinking somebody could say that's a violent picture. That's not violent. She could be defending herself. It's a beautiful piece. And I scanned that on the computer and I was manipulating the colors. And you should see some of the... It's like it was like I drew it in layers.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I mean, and if you see, I'll print one out for you because it actually looks like, because I changed the color of her dress from pink to, I have like green one and a yellow one, and you can see the sheer see-through on the top of her,
neat.
On the top of the clothes, the tutu that she's wearing.
You should print them all out and have them. You know what I mean? Like an Andy Warhol kind of.
Oh, yeah, have like floral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I wanted to just kind of mention here is if people want to go see some of the different products that are available at Wellspring Home and Garden, like you mentioned, you're really easily located over on Market Street, and it's just right in the big plaza there. It's easy for people to pull off. If you're heading south toward Warren, you could just turn off to the right and pull right in there. It's very easy, and you guys are open from Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 10 to 5, so really it's a pretty large swath of the day that you're open for people to be able to come and check out what you have available.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'll provide the phone number, and if you want to call us, we do work outside of those hours with requests. So the phone number is 814-406-9255. You can also find us on Facebook at Wellspring Home Garden, and it is the one with the green and the blue logo. I always tell people that.
All right, well, hey, that's really good to know. Now, one thing that I heard you mention at the beginning of this conversation was that Wellspring does a little bit with snow removal. I understand it's going to be coming pretty soon. I think we all know that. Now, would you mind going through some of the details on this snow removal service that you have available?
Sure. Well, right now we have a few contracts in the community that are residential and also also some that are commercial. We do both. What we do is if you call the 814-406-9255, we get you scheduled with a free estimate. I have a team leader who will come out and gauge the time that it will take. We write up a quick contract, and we do have a very low fee. I think we agreed upon $35 an hour again this year in spite of the recent inflation.
Wow, so that sounds like a really good deal then.
So the Fairweather Lodge model is actually that people come out and are employed. And so we help people have a positive rent reference when they leave us and a positive work reference. So we also employ a lot of our individuals that come through.
Trista, thank you for taking the time to go through this with me today. I'm really glad that we could highlight some of the different things that are available through the Forest Warren Mental Wellness Association. And I'm really glad that we could highlight the different things that Wellspring is doing. And hopefully we can get some people signed up and some free estimates done before the snow really starts falling.
That's usually when we get all the calls.
Well, hopefully people will look and get ready a little earlier this year. So thank you.
Thank you.
From your streets to your screens.
We begin with breaking news.
If it's happening here, it's happening now.
The shooting suspect still at large tonight.
Taking you there.
The roof has been shredded off of it and it's been peeled back.
With more reporters covering more ground.
A special report you'll only see here on Erie News Now.
So you're more informed and more prepared. Weeknights at 5, 5:30, and 6. It's coverage you can count on.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Thank you for joining me here on 92 Gold to be able to talk about some of the different things that are going on in PennDOT, Saxton. Saxton, you are the press safety officer for District 1 at PennDOT, and I understand right now there's a lot of things that people need to be worried about on the roadways. One of the things that we could talk about is we're in the fall season. Obviously, the deer are running. Those are things that people need to be worried about. So one thing before we get into some of the other talk that I know we've got lined up, I'm wondering, could you go over just some brief information about what you would advise for people that are out on the roadways on best ways to avoid deer or what to do in the event of a collision with a deer on the roadways?
Sure. So obviously we live in Pennsylvania where there's a very high deer population and they're going to be active mostly during these October and November months. And they tend to travel kind of in small groups. So where you see one, there's usually probably more just inside the woods or the tree line. So just it's important to maintain your attention on the roadway. That's really at all times, not just during these couple months out of the year. Put away all your distractions, put your full attention on the roadway, and just kind of scan on the sides of the roads for movement. Sometimes you'll even see like their eyes through your headlights. That's usually the easiest thing to see. But sometimes there are just going to be crashes because the deer runs into you and not vice versa. Unfortunately, that's just, again, where we live in Pennsylvania with the amount of deer that are around us. But if you kind of pay attention to what you're doing, make sure you're traveling at a safe speed and following those speed limit signs, give yourself enough time to react. But what you don't want to do is to try to swerve out of the way of the deer, especially into the other lane, because that's going to put you and other motorists at risk because you could drive right into the front of another vehicle. And we don't want that at all. So if you hit the deer, usually it's fine to just kind of pull off to the side of the road. If your vehicle maybe is disabled from the crash, you want to contact law enforcement. Otherwise, if it's minor damage and your vehicle is still drivable, then you can kind of just head back home or get to wherever you're heading.
I think obviously when people would be pulling over, they'd have an opportunity to use that all important hazard button on their vehicles there. That's what you would do in that situation, right? Or would you want to use the pull, like the turn signal to pull over? What would be preferable there?
Well, we don't really advise folks pulling over to the side of the road unless it's an absolute emergency, just because it's a dangerous spot to be getting alongside, even secondary roads that have kind of decent speed limits. So you would want to put your four-ways on just for visibility purposes. If you happen to carry a flare in your vehicle and if you're going to be there for a prolonged period, maybe stick that out there. But in your best bet, if your car is damaged enough, is just to get a hold of law enforcement and they'll get somebody there to kind of help make sure people can see you and secure the scene and keep traffic flowing.
It's all really good advice, really important for people to have a good understanding of and keep in mind when they're traveling both 62 heading from Warren to Jamestown and any of the many roadways heading south out of Warren to Kane. TDU, to those different areas there. So definitely important to keep that stuff in mind as you're traveling through these areas here. And so Saxton, I understand there's some other important things that we need to be able to talk about and discuss right now, because we're getting closer to Halloween as we're recording this right now. And there are some things that people should really keep in mind as they're getting ready to go out and do some trick-or-treating this year. And there's also some things that motorists need to keep in mind on Halloween night as well, right?
Absolutely. So when it comes to safety, it's a two-way street. So it comes down to both pedestrians and motorists doing the things that'll keep everybody safe. So as you mentioned, Halloween is right around the corner, and we have an impaired driving campaign that runs right alongside that through the 31st of October. And the last couple of years, we haven't seen as many trick-or-treaters with COVID pandemic. So this year might be kind of the first year in a while that it's kind of quote unquote back to normal. So we're going to see increased pedestrian traffic. So when you're out in at night, usually that's when trick-or-treating happens. I know sometimes they can happen during daylight hours, but particularly at night, you want to make sure that you avoid wearing a mask that could obstruct your peripheral vision, and maybe try to wear reflective tape or something like that on the outside of a darker costume, because it's really going to be hard for motorists to see you in low light conditions when you're wearing all black, for example. So just do your best to maybe put some reflective tape on there. And you can even carry a flashlight with you too, because not only is it going to make you visible, but also will light your way and you'll be able to see where you're walking along the sidewalks. In addition to that, try to make sure that you're always, you know, walking with a group, or if you're a younger child, holding a family member or a parent's hand as you cross the street, and make sure you're using those designated crosswalks and or crossing areas, because motorists are going to be on the lookout for you, but you want to make sure that you're not darting out behind a car like mid-block where they're not expecting a pedestrian. But on the flip side, those motorists need to be extra aware that there's trick-or-treating happening. So you may want to look up those times in your community and see when they're going to be out, and then making sure that you're on high alert when you're traveling through those roadways. Just kind of scan the road back and forth and looking for pedestrians that may be trying to cross there. Also, you want to just put away all your distractions. That applies any time behind the wheel, but even more so here during high pedestrian traffic. Put your phone away, keep your music turned down, keep your passengers kind of quiet down so you can maintain a focus on the act of driving. So those are all things that you want to be able to do, but also to drive at a safe speed. We see speeding as such a prevalent factor in crashes across the board, and that really helps save a lot of serious injury or fatalities if you just give yourself time to stop by traveling at a slower speed.
You brought up some really good points there. You made some really good tips for people to have, and you know, I really hope that people are able to take use of some of these things and use them on Halloween night this year. And one thing that I wanted to get into a discussion with you a little bit about, as you know, we move past Halloween and we're looking into Thanksgiving, into Christmas, and what comes with that is snow. So, and I understand actually in this area, at least northeast near Erie, we've already seen our first little lick of snow for the year. What is your best advice for people that are traversing these roadways as we get into these snowy conditions? Are we at a point in time where people are able to use studded tires on their vehicles? Is that something that you would ever recommend doing?
I would look at the type of vehicle you have, maybe talk to an expert on that. But really, if you're going to go with winter tires of any sort, now is the time to do that, because like you mentioned, we have seen some snowfall in the northwest corner of the state. So this, again, just depends on the vehicle, but the better traction you can get on the roads, the better, because we will see some slick conditions out there with precipitation falling. But ultimately, a lot of the same tips apply during winter driving, again, with traveling at a reduced speed. Just drive the speed limit, but if the conditions warrant that you need to go lower than the speed limit, then you do that, because you could actually be cited for traveling at an unsafe speed, even if you're going the speed limit. All the storms that we get in this area are a little bit different, some a lot more severe than others, but anytime we have winter precipitation, there's danger with those slick conditions. Also, make sure you're giving yourself enough time, so that way you don't have to try to get somewhere quicker. Maybe leave 10 or 15 minutes earlier to go to work or to the grocery store. Just provide yourself a little bit of wiggle room there. And then also maybe pack up some emergency kits for your cars. That could include non-perishable food items, extra clothes, maybe a small bag of salt, some like a flashlight. Make sure that you have a shovel in case you need to dig yourself out somewhere. And even just making sure that your radio works and having a phone charger to use when your phone maybe as well. So all those things are just good to have in the event of an emergency. Nobody ever thinks they're going to have to use them, but it's when you kind of let your guard down that you might get in a serious situation where you're going to need some of those things.
As we're getting closer, especially in nighttime when the temperatures are getting lower into the mid to lower 30s, some of these nights, it's something to keep in mind when you're getting any rain and precipitation coming down. it can change to snow, sleet, and ice very quickly at that point. And
slowly, especially up near the lake, we see a lot of lake effect snow. But yeah, the temperatures are going back and forth. And some of my colleagues even today had mentioned that we're seeing a lot of black ice across the state right now. So you're not always going to see that. It looks like just a wet roadway, but you could be hitting a patch of ice very quickly. And another thing you might find yourself running into is a snow squall, which is just like a brief but a very intense period of snow with strong winds and maybe whiteout conditions, which will cause the roads to become icy very quickly. So usually we'll put out, there'll be snow squall warnings and you might get an alert on your phone. But really, you just want to avoid going out in those if you can and try to just safely exit the roadway at the next opportunity. Don't try to just pull over on the side of the road, especially if you're on an interstate. It's not necessarily a safe thing to do. But if you can get to like a parking lot or somewhere off a main road where you can be safe, that's probably a good idea until that passes. But you just want to make sure that you're slowing down gradually. If you're not able to exit anywhere safely, turn on your headlights and flip on your hazards. Make sure you're staying in your lane and increasing your following distance between vehicles. And lastly, just avoid slamming on your brakes, and that'll make it much easier for to lose control of your vehicle.
One of the things that I was kind of curious in relation to this, because, you know, as people are going to be traveling on the highways and the snow is going to be falling inevitably, there's going to be usually one lane that's clearer than the other. Usually that lane has a snow plow at the front of it that's kind of clearing that out. What is your advice as far as if you happen to see a snow plow on the roadway, how far back should you stay? You shouldn't be passing it, right?
Yeah, there's no situation where you should be passing one of our plow trucks. I think the general rule of thumb is that you want to stay back like 6 car lengths or so, and that should give the plow plenty of room. And you just want to make sure that you'll be safer behind a plow truck than you would be in front of it, obviously. So keep that in mind as they're kind of clearing the way for you. But never pass them. Never try to get between them if you end up having one on either side of the road, like we call it a snow plow train. So if you encounter that, don't try to go in between them. Just let them do their job. They're trying to make the road safe and passable for you to get to your destination safely. And then also just understand if you see a plow truck out, understand that they're going to have maybe a wider turning radius. So give them extra space at intersections, and also understand that they are a little bit wider than a typical vehicle. And they might have a little bit more cargo behind them than a traditional truck or another vehicle. So it's all about giving them ample space to do their job. I know sometimes it can be difficult, but you just really got to make sure that you let them do their job.
You've got some really great information for people that are going to be out trick-or-treating this year, and really a lot of information for people that are going to be out on the roadways avoiding deer as well. So
with Halloween coming up and then additional holidays with Thanksgiving and Christmas, we understand there's going to be a lot of people going out to celebrate, but just please do so responsibly and never make the choice to get behind the wheel of a vehicle under the influence of anything, whether that be drugs or alcohol. We know there's a lot of misperceptions out there that it's really just alcohol that's causing these impaired driving crashes, but it's actually a lot more drugs that we're seeing, and particularly those prescription medications that tell you not to operate heavy machinery. So if you're ever unsure about your medications, if it could cause drowsiness or other dangerous effects to your ability to drive, check with your doctor on that. But if you have anything to drink at all, make sure you plan accordingly and find a completely sober driver or arrange for a ride-sharing service to get you home. We want you to have fun and celebrate, but we also want you to get home to your family safely. We see some scary trends, our crash numbers going up over the last few years, and we're just doing everything we can to spread the word. We want those numbers to go back down. We don't want to ever have to lose people on our roadways, and it's just happening way too often right now.
You bring up some really great points there. I'm hoping that people can, you know, take some of this stuff and be able to learn from it and use this. So I'm really glad that we could be able to highlight this stuff. Saxton, thank you for taking the time to join me today. I'm glad that we could be able to highlight this.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me. I appreciate it, and stay safe out there, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.